141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Motherwell appeal the red card shown to Cedric Kiepre after a tangle with Scott Brown in yesterday's 0-0 draw. Rangers are now 10 points behind Celtic after losing a seventh home game of the season on Saturday. And Alex McLeish's Scotland squad meets up with James McFadden, urging the new faces to seize their opportunity. From new faces to very old faces indeed. Uh-huh. I'm in the company of Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
Well, let's do it by the numbers. Number one, the plot at the weekend had to go to Kilmarnock and Motherwell. Their endeavour won them points against Rangers and Celtic respectively. Number two, I think Graham Murty is now unlikely to be the permanent manager of Rangers. At the end of the season, I think the club will look elsewhere. Number three, Celtic now have a double-digit lead at the top of the Premier League, and that means that only the date of their coronation as champions is in doubt. Nothing else is.
Well, Aberdeen were the only winners at the weekend in the top four. You know, they get closer to Rangers, which is important. There's no way anybody's going to finish above Celtic. So it's that race that we spoke about, or have been speaking about in the last few weeks, between Hibs, Aberdeen and Rangers. It's all getting very tight now.
There's always lots to get through on a Monday, so why not join us? 01419511025 on the phones, or if you prefer Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. Let's start with the most recent game, if you like, Hugh Keevans. And I know the way this is going to go.
Yes.
I know what we're going to debate as this show progresses. So I'll tell you what, let's do the right thing and let's start with the football before we get to the controversy.
Yeah, I thought that Motherwell were outstanding after being reduced to 10 men. I thought they defended like men possessed. I thought Celtic were negligent in front of goal. They could and should have scored a couple in the second half, but there was a poor finishing. Patrick Roberts also hit the bar. That was his main contribution after coming on. But the credit goes to Motherwell. It was a hard fought point that they won. It's good for Celtic. It takes them 10 points clear with a game in hand, and they are the champions elect. But the shame for Motherwell is that, yes, it was a hard-fought point, but it won't do them any good in terms of the top six.
Yeah, still looking like an uphill battle there. Derek, yeah, understandably so. We are drawn to guys who bang 30 goals in and long-range finishes and all the rest of it, but sometimes the old-fashioned art of defending is quite enjoyable as well, and that's what you got in the second half at Fir Park, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I thought Motherwell were different class. In, I think the first half, they've had two great chances to score as well, remember, you know, early on in the game. They had their chances to score as well. But you're right, when you go down to 10 men, all of a sudden you become possessed. All these players all give a wee bit extra. And you're right, Celtic had the majority of the better chances in the second half, but it's all about sticking the ball in the back of the net. But it's like everything else, you don't lose goals, you don't lose games, and Motherwell did really well defensively.
Celtic fans, Motherwell fans, interested neutrals, why not get in touch and let us know what you took away from yesterday's game? 01419511025. Stephen Robinson says he couldn't be prouder of his players after the 0-0 draw, but was furious the referee Craig Thompson sent off Cedric Kiepre. Kiepre was ordered off for an alleged kick out at Celtic captain Scott Brown, but Robinson says anyone who has seen the incident knows it was never a red card.
To a man, I'm absolutely proud of each and every one. I thought we were excellent in the first half. I was coming in at half time to say, just more of the same, you win the game. We were the team on top, playing all the football and had chances, you know. And then the game turns on its head with a decision. But the way they battled, the organisation, you know, it's okay me organising it, but they took me to, you know, absolutely the last word that we said at half time, you know, and they followed the instructions completely. And maybe could have nicked it at the end as well. So proud of them. I think everybody in the room knows here that it wasn't the sending off. I know you all know that. So, I mean, two people brushed together. If there had been two yellow cards out of it, you might have thought it was harsh, if I'm being honest. But, you know, it's petulance from both of them. Scott Brown gives him a little shove. Cedric brushes his calf against him. And I've seen it this time, so I'm 100% certain of that. But it definitely wasn't a red card, that I know. It wasn't Scott Brown that made a decision. So I don't need to make my feelings clear. I think everybody in the ground knows. And what happened was it spoiled a very, very good match. I think we all know it wasn't a red card. What I want to talk about is how good we were, how organised we were, and it just epitomises the spirit we've got at this football club. Five red cards from the same referee, and he's not sent another Premiership player off. You take out of that what you will. I'm not saying anything. I don't want to see anybody booked. I don't want to see anybody booked, but what it was two people coming together. They brushed each other. You know, no, I don't think Scott Brown should have been booked, and I don't think Cedric should have been booked. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And it's annoying because people pay money to come and watch the game. And it was a really, really good game of football, you know, and I thought we were taking the game to them. Most people sit off Celtic, we didn't. And we were really positive and took the game to them. And then you end up, you have to sit back the whole game. And they done it brilliantly. That's what I want to point out. Our boys done it brilliantly and maybe could have nicked something at the end.
Let's go through what Stephen Robinson has just said there. First of all, I agree with him. It wasn't a red card. I think Craig Thompson overreacted and I think he got it badly wrong. However, the SFA will apply the letter of the law and they may see a leg extended. Even though it made minimal contact with Scott Brown, they may see that as serious intent and they may decide to uphold the red card. I'll leave that to the SFA. That's their job. The point that Stephen Robinson makes about Craig Thompson booking five Motherwell players this season and none from any other club, and then to say... But I'll say no more about that. I'll leave it up to yourselves. There's a direct inference there that Craig Thompson somehow has it in for Motherwell. And Stephen Robinson is on dangerous ground there because he cannot prove that.
Well, also, he also didn't accuse him of a single thing.
No, but he was subtle in his delivery there.
Used his words very carefully.
But what he was inferring, for me, what he was inferring was that Craig Thompson has it in for Motherwell and the manager can't prove that.
I think most people would imagine, Derek, it's an incredible statistic. Rather than worrying I'm sure there are no agendas or nothing like that, but it's just an incredible statistic, isn't it?
It is.
It's not often you come across something like that. Five Motherwell players sent off by Craig Thompson, who's not sent anyone else off in the Premiership. It's just one of those anomalies you would imagine.
And I think you're right. I don't think there's anything sinister in it. I think the referees obviously felt that the five sending offs were justified. Certainly yesterday it wasn't justified. I mean, I've watched 3 weeks ago Scott Brown at Aberdeen when he said three people kick him in the space of 30 seconds and getting up and giving the old Tarzan shout and the arms out to the Celtic fans. You know, it was him that instigated it yesterday by pushing him, keeper, when he was on the ground. The legs come up, honestly, he could have hit me a feather and he wouldn't have felt it. And Scott Brown reacted for that second when the referee got his red card out and then he got up right away. You know, I think Scott Brown watching that will be embarrassed. I think the referees made another terrible decision.
I think we have
in a week where it's support the referees. I don't think Stevie Robertson will be supporting referees. And not only that, I think it's a penalty kick in the last minute of the game as well for Motherwell. Jack Henry's got both arms around him inside the box. I mean, he's fallen dramatically. Certainly never touched him foot-wise. You know, he's never tripped him. But he's got both hands around him, stopping him turning. For me, that is a penalty kick as well.
I think we have to divorce the personality from the issue here. I believe if it had been Scott Allen instead of Scott Brown, there wouldn't be this level of fuss.
Does that not just come with the territory, though? Well, I mean, it's also like saying if it had happened between Hamilton and Ross County, it wouldn't have been the same fuss. It's high profile for a reason.
Stephen Thompson, Stephen Robinson, I beg your pardon, again made the point. It wasn't Scott Brown who sent Cedric Kiprey off. It was Craig Thompson. And I think, you know, at halftime on television, Derek McInnes, the Aberdeen manager, said that Scott Brown had goaded Kiprey into the red card moment. I don't think that's fair. You know, Scott Brown takes his fair share. He is as much sinned against as sinner. And when Derek speaks about the incident at Pittodrie, Cosgrove was sent off and Shea Logan was very lucky not to be sent off because the referee missed him kicking the ball at Scott Brown.
But that was the reactions of the man. He doesn't care if people want to. He knows he's going to get kicked in game, but he's able to handle that. He didn't do that yesterday. I'll put something to you, Hugh. If he doesn't stick his hand out and push Kiprey, does Kiprey lift a leg at all?
Well,
I think he does, because that's what stirs him into it.
You've asked me a question, then answered it.
Well, that's it. Well, I don't know what your answer is.
I think it was a nothing incident. I think that what Scott Brown did to Kiprey and what Kiprey did to Scott Brown neither here nor there, but the referee overreacted to it.
John's a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All good. What's your point, John?
All right. I was watching the Man U game on Saturday night, and Charlie Adam, right? Sorry, not right. Stoken by Everton. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. Mm-hmm. To me, that guy Seapray gets sent off for the tackle, not for the afters.
Well, it was for violent conduct, John. So that's not the case.
No. If you look at the television footage, you'll see that Craig Thompson doesn't actually react to the tackle at all. He then turns. He's missed Scott Brown's push on Kipre. He then turns his head in time to see Kipre move his leg and sends him off for that. I think the referee has just made a mistake, overreacted. And I don't think it's for the challenge.
For the afters, not I mean, because it was handbags. But I thought the way he went into the tackle, because I don't know if you've seen the Stoke game, Charlie Adam. I mean, I think it was actually more of the conditions as well that caught Charlie Adam out, but it looked a worse tackle where it was. But I actually thought it was quite a bad tackle, Steve, but I don't think it should be sent off for the that afters that when it happened.
I've seen
it. But see, another point I'm going to get you. Do you know what I think? This guy Robinson must be on the radar of Rangers if Graham Murray doesn't get the job, because the boy's doing some job in Motherwell.
Well, I only know what I read and hear, and the majority of Rangers supporters that I have spoken to, or whose comments I have read in newspapers, they seem to think that Steve Clarke is the man they would like to see go to Ibrox. I don't deny that Stephen Robinson has done a magnificent job at Motherwell. He might even make his second final of the season. But the Rangers supporters, I think, would go for Steve Clarke.
Well, I think a lot of them wouldn't like him because he's got a Celtic background, Hugh.
Well, you know, his brothers are Kilmarnock supporters. I don't know who Stevie Clarke supported as a child in Ayrshire. I'm trying to judge people on their ability and not their background. And his ability is overwhelming. He has been a sensation since he arrived in Scotland. As I say, Rangers may have other ideas, and Graham Murray has yet to be told that he's not wanted.
I'll tell you what, we've six games to go, and looking at where Kilmarnock were before Steve Clarke arrived, for them to actually get, you know, safe and they're in the top six is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what a manager is all about. Taking a team that were really toiling, players were underachieving, and somebody comes in and he's able to get them going and playing the way they are. It's something, you know, it's phenomenal what he's done.
Yeah, of course, we're going to hear from Stevie Clarke a bit later on in the programme after what was another excellent weekend for him. On Twitter at Clyde SSB, Hugh says, if you kick out in a petulant manner at an opponent, you're sent off. Ask David Beckham. But Wee Doughball says, I'm a diehard Celtic fan. I love Scott Brown more than my wife, but there's no way it was a red card, not even a booking.
Mrs. Doughball, how do you feel about that? But as I say, Gordon, there is a letter of the law. If the SFA consider that there was serious intent in what Cedric Kipre did, then they may decide to uphold the decision.
Well, we will find out in the coming days, I'm sure. Just to reiterate, that Motherwell have appealed that red card shown to Cedric Kipre. Blair is in Denison. He's a Motherwell fan. Hi, Blair.
How you doing, guys? I listened to actually you guys were talking about the game there yesterday, and I have to probably agree with most of the points you did make about the incident regarding, which probably, in my opinion, probably did ruin the game. Because I felt like you said, Mull, I said, I can never be more proud of Mull War yesterday, because it was basically after 10 men, we went down, it was like backs against the wall. Because obviously when you go down to a team like Celtic, it's very difficult, because the way tempo Celtic play and the players have got, I mean, the player, obviously, you look at Celtic's bench, and obviously, like, you thought, all right, 10 men, okay, and then you're like, that, oh, geez, all these guys waiting to come on to, like, chomping at the bit. So, considering the fact the players they brought on, I still felt, in my opinion, they didn't really test Mull. Carson made a couple of good saves, but I still think, in my opinion, Celtic didn't really, it was a huff and puff and they couldn't blow the house down. Mull just basically defended for their lives and basically made it so difficult for Celtic.
I think it was all summed up, really, wasn't it, when in the dying moments, The penalty appeal's waved away. Scott Sinclair goes up
goes
the other
up the
end. And you see the run from Richard Tate to cover
another
across.
Another block. I mean, it's two or three fantastic blocks, you have to say, Motherwell. They threw themselves, you know, at the forwards. And, you know, it was just a terrific display by them. And you're right, if you were a Motherwell fan yesterday, you would have been absolutely delighted the way your team fought for 90 minutes.
I don't accept this. It ruined the game because he was sent off. That's not necessarily the case.
Celtic, in terms of a contest, though, because Motherwell in the first half went for it, and in the second they couldn't. That's surely what is meant there.
The previous weekend, though, Celtic got down to 10 men, and it was the making of them, and they won the game at Ibrox. So, and Derek's pointing out that had Motherwell got the penalty at the Jack Hendry incident, the dying seconds, then Motherwell might have won the game as well. So I don't accept that because a player is sent off, it ruins the game.
Blair?
Yeah, sometimes I can see what you mean. Sometimes you obviously, like 10 men, it depends on, sometimes it does bring out the best in a team.
Yeah.
Because obviously it depends, it really just depends on the scenario. Obviously it was 0-0 at the time and they're sending off a curb. And obviously, and I was actually on a point to Gavin Thompson. I know like Robinson's comments for a bit. I can see obviously if you're a manager and obviously that happened and it's the same referee doing it, I suppose you would feel a little bit aggrieved. By it because it's like five players, and I think, was he not the referee that sent off the three players against St Johnstone?
Yes.
The same referee?
Yeah,
and I think obviously we got one of them, I think it was Charles Dunn.
Yeah, that got overturned, that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, as I said, the tip of keepy thing, I think I was actually, I've kind of been building up to this point. Scott Brown, I think, in my opinion, should really be ashamed of himself because, like you said, he's been kicked that many times in his career. The Celtic, but I think that reaction was a bit like, I mean, you'd probably more associate that in an Italian football game or a Spanish game.
See,
like someone goes down in fiasics.
If Stephen Robinson says there was nothing in it, didn't deserve a yellow card, far less a red card, what has Scott Brown to be ashamed of?
I think what Blair's probably saying is because Scott Brown was getting to his feet and the contact from Kipri caused him to fall over. Was there enough contact for Scott Brown to fall over?
You'll have to let the SFA decide.
I'm asking you. They're not here.
I think, again, because of the personality involved, now we're down to he should be ashamed of himself.
Well, you're the one who wants to ignore the personality, so ignore it. Based on what you saw, take the colour of the jerseys off. Was there enough contact for Scott Brown to go down?
Nothing that happened in that incident from start to finish was worthy of a red card.
I think if the red card doesn't get rescinded, there's something far wrong with our game. That's how far I would go, even though it's going to be listened to next week or whenever.
Well, we're going to get Brendan Rodgers' take on it, so keep your calls coming and we'll hear from the Celtic boss after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show, and we'd just love to hear from you. So if you fancy getting involved, it's 01419511025, or of course you can contact us on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says he sees where Motherwell are coming from after the red card to Cedric Kipri, but says his side needed to be more ruthless in front of goal. Now, it was a point that moved Celtic 10 clear of Rangers with a game in hand, but he says the Steelmen did prove difficult to break down.
I thought it was pretty even in the first period of the game. Scotty had to make a couple of good saves. They made some moments of danger in around their box. Of course, the guy gets sent off, so it changes the dynamic of the game. I was pleased with how we worked the ball in our positioning. You know, we stayed really calm, didn't need to force it, just wait for the moments to arrive in good positions, and I thought we did that, but we just lacked that little bit of incisive play either to score.
Stephen Robinson seemed adamant that it wasn't a red card. What was your view on it?
Yeah, I can probably see a wee bit why we'd maybe feel that. Initially, I think the reaction was that I thought it was a foul. Brownie looks like he's getting up. He's sort of pushing the guy to get up, and then I think probably his intent was to to kick out. The only thing I would say is that Craig's actually looking at it. By the time the incident happens, he's right up level with it. He's looking in at it. And I suppose a bit like saying it's like a boxer or someone or player on the pitch. If he throws a punch and it doesn't hit, does that mean it's not right? You know, so maybe that's what Craig was saying. He's went to lash out, probably caught Brownie a little bit, not maybe what people would expect for to be sent off from, but he must have been looking, Craig, at the intent of it. So But of course, that then changes the game. They go to 4-4-1. Okay, they stay solid. They do well, defend. We had a couple of moments, hit the bar, Scotty in a 1v1. But it just wouldn't fall for us. And nowadays, you're at an advantage, I hear, when you have 10 men. So we've done really well in that moment because it's, you know, you have an advantage.
Little subtlety there from Brendan Rodgers as well. I think he would be overall disappointed with Celtic's performance. The 10 men of Motherwell did defend stoutly and bravely, threw themselves on the ball like men hurling themselves onto grenades, but Celtic did have the chances, and they, you know, Dembele and Eduard, after their terrific work at Ibrox, were less than terrific at Fir Park. Sinclair, although we're crediting Motherwell with defending it properly, Sinclair should have scored, would have scored last season. So at the end of the day, because Rangers lost and Celtic drew, Celtic actually increased their lead at the top of the table, but it wasn't a vintage performance.
I mean, I would disagree with Brendan there on one thing, when he said that Kiprey lashed out of him. I don't think he lashed out of him. I mean, he's a big lad, he's 6'2" and about 13.5 stone. He never lashed out, he put the leg up and barely touched him. But again, it's how the referee sees it. You're right, the referee turned around and just caught a leg going up, yeah, and he's overreacted, and he's given the red card to him. So,
I'm thankful.
But you know who I thought played well and really dominated the game, I thought, was Rogic. I thought he was on the right, he was on the left, he was having shots, he was taking the ball off of players, he was putting some great balls into the box. I mean, I think he's been the difference in Celtic. I think he just demands the ball all the time.
In terms of Celtic's performance, Hugh, you've just given the statistics. You can't possibly be overcritical of a team who's 10 points clear and potentially going to go 13 points clear, yeah, if and when they win their game in hand. Clearly having no problem whatsoever getting up for the games against Rangers and Aberdeen. Yeah, if you look at a couple of others, and listen, I appreciate we're holding Celtic to high standards here, not meaning to be overcritical. No goals yesterday. If you go back a bit before that, it was of course the St Johnstone game, the Kilmarnock game as well. Just by their own high standards, in some of the so-called smaller games, not quite happening in front of goal.
Yeah, that's undeniably true. I think it was the seventh draw of the season for Celtic. You know, they're drawing games that last season they were won. But as you say, the bottom line.
Yeah, exactly.
10 points clear, game in hand, vastly superior goal difference. Seventh title in a row in the bag. So it wasn't a vintage performance, but it moved them closer to title winning day.
But what let them down again, Hugh, was they're creating chances, Celtic. It's not as if they're not creating anything in these 0-0 games. They're creating decent chances, they're just not taking. I mean, Dembele must have had 4 or 5, you know, good chances. You know, he's hit the target twice and you know, in 3, either over the bar or wide. They're getting the chances, but just not taking them. And that's the difference with them this season and last season.
Derek is a Celtic fan. He's from Cathcart. Hi, Derek.
Hi there, Gordon. Good evening there. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Derek.
Hi, Derek.
My thunder's just been stolen a wee bit there when I was listening to Brendan Rodgers there. I really think the referee was spot on in many ways because, yes, he just, I don't know so much about the lashing out, but he certainly raised the leg with intent, and this is where I think that Motherwell will lose their appeal. I think the referee's decision will be upheld. And I go back, I can't remember exactly dates-wise, but I go back to and I think this has been mentioned as well, the David Beckham against Argentina. David Beckham he was lying. He was basically lying flat down.
He was face down, wasn't he?
Yep, and he lifted his leg and just swung it round off. He gets sent off. So I think the referee has got a point there. In as much as the rules of the game were applied there, and whether it was slight touch or whether it wasn't, it was, to me, a sending off. I don't know what you think about
that. I think the best thing to do, Derek, is to actually look at the wording of the rule rather than, you know, sort of guessing, because it was a sending off for violent conduct, okay? So what they say is violent conduct is when a player uses or attempts, like, you know, you say intent, attempts to use excessive force or brutality. Do you think it was excessive in its force or brutality?
Well, and as far as the referee was concerned, when he turned round, he saw that leg being raised.
Oh yeah, I know that, right? Listen, I don't think anyone doubts that it was raised.
And maybe it's getting back to just pulling out a bit of semantics here, of wording here. But again, Gordon, I keep going back to this David Beckham thing. You know, he certainly was sent off, and I'm sure that kind of set a standard some way for referees. I mean, the World Cup is basically where, you know, we can go with things like that. But
well, you know, Derek, I don't think it'll be admissible evidence come Thursday afternoon.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, I don't think so. No.
So the good thing is we'll only have to wait until Thursday, yeah, and then the decision will be taken, and then there may be consequences if it's not a decision that meets with full approval. So I'll happily let the SFA do their job. They have a procedure in place, and now it's down to them. My one man reaction is it should not have been a red card, but it's the SFA's job to do something about that.
Roger Hannah always feels very strongly about this line when he's on the programme, and it sort of stuck with me. He always says he would never ever try and second guess the appeals process, because yeah, there have been so many examples in the past where you've thought that's going to get overturned and it doesn't, or vice versa. But if we can take this one in isolation, Hugh, just to remind you of the wording there. So violent conduct, it needs to be excessive force or brutality.
The funny thing,
did you see any of that in yesterday's challenge?
Should be thrown out.
Brutality, certainly not. Excessive force, I can't prove. Only Scott Brown can tell you whether it was strong enough to lift them off the ground. So, as I say, it's down to the SFA, and we'll see what they decide. But again, if this was the normal, everyday legal system, you wouldn't have a man on trial, and before his trial took place, have everyone discuss it for hours on end and write about it for hours on end.
I'm kind of glad that it's that way. Yeah, otherwise, absolutely, we would be struggling for programmes like these.
Absolutely, but you know, you when Roger says you can't second guess the SFA,
I will still try.
But they cannot avoid hearing about, reading about this incident. So by the time the decision makers come to make their decision, they'll have been well briefed on who thinks what about it.
Yeah, but that shouldn't matter, Hugh. I mean,
wording of the rule.
Just what you've read out there, Gordon.
This is
the rule, and you look at that, and you look at the tackle, and go, no, neither of them, and you throw it out. I think it's a very quick decision.
Alternatively, if they do think it was, then fair enough. Jerry is a Celtic fan in Uddingston. Jerry, of course, I will let you discuss the red card. I'm just curious what you thought about the football itself before we get on to that.
It was dire. I think kid to Motherwell. Thought Motherwell started the game well. I thought Celtic were half asleep. We started to come into the game last 10-15 minutes of the first half. Started to run a few passes together. I think Rogic was at the heart of that. I thought Sham was good up until he came to having a shot at goal. And I think we're starting to play well back at the game. But give Motherwell their due. When we down to 10 men, they set out to stop the game as a contest and stop any football getting played. And I think they did that to a lesser degree and deserved a point.
How are you balancing this up as a Celtic fan, Jerry? Because as Hugh touched on, I'm sure you can't really be disappointed with being 10 points clear. But you also sound like you were hoping for a bit more yesterday.
You know, I think this season Celtic have been affected by, firstly, the number of injuries, and as a consequence of that, the fact that we have struggled to have a settled side from goalkeeper right through. You know, Dembele's had his injury problems. I think he's looked more like himself the last half a dozen, seven games. I thought he actually played okay yesterday. I think he's supply to him was not great. We obviously Griffiths, he's been out injured. Sinclair's going through a loss of form. We've lost Patrick Roberts, and I think yesterday was the first game that I've seen James Forrest be ineffective. I think maybe he's showing the wear and tear of the season that goes on. So I think, you know, I'm not disappointed. I think a lot of my fellow Celtic fans have unrealistic expectations because of a once-in-a-lifetime season we had last year. And if we win the treble, I'll celebrate it this year, just like I did last year.
I bet you will. On to the red card then, Jerry.
So, two parts to this. Derek said the referee overreacted at the kick-out, and I agree. Had Craig Thompson reacted appropriately to the initial challenge, we wouldn't even be speaking about this. I laughed at the Motherwell manager saying, you know, he felt sorry for Cedric Kiepre and, you know, he's not that type of player. He's got a rap sheet this season for not being that type of player. He had a really, really bad challenge in Dembele in the League Cup final, done something similar to Ryan Jack. And his tackle on Scott Brown was potentially, could potentially have broken Brown's leg. He's went in there with a stamp. He's not going to block the challenge, in there with a stamp. The ref should have sent him off for that. But having not sent him off for that, the boy shouldn't have been sent off for the kick out or whatever it was. But his initial tackle was horrific, and I think...
But the referee never gave a free kick for that one, Gerry.
Exactly. And
Scott Brown never jumped about, moaned about it either, to be fair. He just wanted to get up and had give him the wee push. I mean, there was no contact with any legs or knees or anything. You know, it was a tackle that flew in, and it's tackles that we want to see in the game, because they're 50-50 balls and you go for it. That's what we want to see.
I think Kiepre is reckless. He's young, he's headstrong, and he gets himself into all sorts of bother. And Gerry has pointed out one or two of the tackles that were not so savoury from him in previous matches, but that again has nothing to do with what took place yesterday. I don't think the initial challenge was a worry. I don't think he intended to do Scott Brown. I thought Scott Brown got the ball away cleanly, and then the two of them collided, and we all know what happened thereafter. But he is young, reckless, and occasionally foolish, but I don't think it was a red card yesterday.
Another tough afternoon for Graham Murty at Ibrox on Saturday. We're going to hear from the Rangers manager after the travel with Amber, so get your thoughts in.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. On Twitter about the incident at Fir Park yesterday, Paddy says, to answer the question you've asked several times, it is in breach of the rules. He attempted to use excessive force by kicking an unguarded opponent. Just because he doesn't fully connect doesn't change the fact it's a red. And this one from Brad Hugh, he says, never mind this Scott Brown nonsense. How about Shinjuku's shug giving the pie man cometh a plug, having enjoyed himself so much last night?
I would just like to say it's wonderful. You enjoyed it as well, Gordon.
This of course is the play that Brian Jackson, more well known in these parts for being a football administrator, we had him in the programme a couple of months ago. He's written a play about the comical side of Scottish
great
football.
Great performances from Julie Coombe, Callum Cuthbertson and Gavin John Wright. But in his programme notes, Derek, Brian Jackson says all the individuals portrayed are fictitious except for Hugh Keevans, who nobody is too sure about anyway.
Is that in the programme?
Yeah.
Well, listen, was it good?
It was. Oh,
it's great.
How long's it on for? Is it a few days?
It's on until Wednesday.
So there you go. That was your Clyde One Super Scoreboard Arts Review with Hugh Keevans.
Is it worth going to see?
Yeah, it was good. It was good, I must admit. But you won't hear too many more theatre reviews on this programme. I can't imagine. I don't think we will get too many more before the season's out.
Okay,
I did say we were going to hear from Graham Murty, and I'm a man of my word, so let's hear from him. He says he wants the fans to stick by his players, keep believing despite Rangers falling to a second straight defeat at Ibrox. It was a Chris Boyd goal in the second half that gave Kilmarnock all 3 points at the weekend, and Murty says his players showed a lack of belief to get back into the game.
A lack of endeavour, there wasn't a lack of effort. We found it difficult against a very, 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 very well organised team, and we didn't do enough to pull them apart and pull them out of their shape. We'd always looked at games to try and spell Alfredo because he's played a lot of football, and we need to be fair to Jason. Jason's been working extremely hard in training. I thought it was a good game that would fit him, but he doesn't play in isolation. We need to get good supply into him to give him a good chance of representing himself properly. A bit flat. I thought we were too slow with the ball, backwards and sideways too often at times when there were holes to go and play in. And I thought our first pass and transition wasn't good enough, wasn't crisp enough. The amount of times we got the ball back and gave the ball back to them was very disappointing. But overall, of the whole piece, you have to move the ball faster against a team that is as organised and as compact as they are. And I didn't think we did that consistently enough. I don't have to have any harsh words. If anything, you go in there and they're more disappointed than me. They know that this place needs to be turned into a fortress. We haven't managed to do it. And we didn't take our chances when they did. And when you do that, or you don't do that, you make it very difficult to go and get the points.
What's the message to the supporters leaving tonight?
Still belief. Keep believing in us. I've got a changing room in there that needs to keep believing. I thought sometimes today that appeared to be lacking on the pitch at times. But we need, as a team, to give the fans something to believe in. So we're conscious of that. We know that. And there's lots and lots for us to play for. at the end for this season. We need to make sure that we get them energised, get them involved, and get them believing until the end of the season, because the chases and the challenges that we're still involved in are still there for us to go and grasp if we continue believing and continue to make the strides that I believe we have.
I think what makes it even worse, I mean, I haven't seen the whole 90 minutes. Obviously, Gordon was there on Saturday, and we listened to him about the chances Rangers had, you know, early in the first half and whatnot. And when you watch on the television, you know, you're only getting 4 minutes, 5 minutes or whatever it is, but Russell Martin's header from the cross ball, how he misses that. He's inside the 6 yard box, you know, and even at 1-0, he's chanced with another header, it hits the bar. But in saying that, I looked at Kilmarnock, and Kilmarnock had one or two really good chances themselves. But I mean, but for Rangers, how many times do we say it? You know, they don't get the ball forward quick enough. We say that every other week. It seems to go in one ear and out the other. Rugby players, they've got to realise that, you know, losing, what is it, eight games?
Seven at home.
Seven games Rangers have lost at home, and they've drawn two.
Yep.
That's unacceptable for Rangers Football Club. Now, the reasons for that, who knows? Only the players can tell you whether they can't handle what goes on there because they're maybe getting shouted at from supporters if they make a bad pass or whatever. I don't know whether they can handle that. It doesn't look as if they can do that because all their best performances have been away from home and they've played really well.
I was going to ask you about the bigger picture, Hugh. Derek talked about the game specifically at the weekend, so I think everyone knows this stat by now. Seventh home loss. Graham Murty's been in charge for five of them. Uh-huh. Just to put that seven into some sort of perspective, in the whole league, only Ross County, the bottom team, uh-huh, Hamilton and Dundee have lost more at home than Rangers. That's quite something, isn't it?
Club's worst record for 103 years. That tells its own story. For me, Graham Murty is the issue now. Can he remain as Rangers manager? Do the board want him to stay and be in charge of the first team from the start of next season? In order to do so, I think he has to beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final and then win the trophy itself. He also has to finish second, and Aberdeen are only 2 points behind Rangers and have a game in hand. So for me, those are the things which will determine whether he stays or goes back to his under 20 job. And I think at the moment the odds say he goes back to the under 20s.
We're going to hear from the man of the moment, Stevie Clark, just after 7 o'clock on tonight's programme. But let's speak to Jim, who's a Rangers fan at the moment. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. I phoned up on Friday. I think it was because I spoke to more of you about Murty dropping Morelos. And when I was up driving up to the cam, heard he wasn't playing and Cummins was, I was quite happy. But they're just not getting any service. You could have Messi or Ronaldo playing in there, and they don't seem to be getting any service into the strikers. So I don't know why Murphy's not changing it and going with two up front. I just feel as if he seems tactically naive especially against a better manager like Rodgers or Stevie Clark, and it shows against Hibs, against Neil Lennon. They just seem to change a few things on the park, and Murty seemed to be a wee bit outfoxed. He just doesn't seem to combat that.
I don't think it was tactics on Saturday, because he threw men on fairly quickly, you know, forward thinking players. So I don't think he was out fought. I think the players let him down badly. You're right, if the ball's not going in the box, who have you got there to put the ball in the box? Murphy, who should be good enough on the left hand side, the way he plays, right or left foot in the box. Candias on the right. You've got Goss, it passes a wonderful ball through there. You've got Docherty, who's set up two or three goals with lovely passes. So there are players in there that can do it. The question is, why are they not doing it? Is it because maybe opposition teams now are getting more men back and there's no space for them to play? I don't know.
Jim, forgive me if I'm taking your words too literally and that it's not quite what you meant, but just when you rhymed off the other managers there, is that the way you feel then, that Brendan Rodgers, Stevie Clark, Neil Lennon, they are all better managers than Graham Murty?
I would say so, of course. Aye, just reflecting what Derek says there, it's on you're saying they couldn't get the ball into the box, but is that tactics, Derek? See, if you went 4-4-2, he's an extra guy in the box.
But listen, there's not only just one man in the box all the time. There's all the midfielders getting forward. The ball's on the right, Murphy will get in from the other side. So there are always men in the box.
If you look at Stevie Clark, and we're always applauding him justifiably, he takes over a team who are bottom of the league. He takes over players who, let's be brutally honest, there are no world superstars at Kilmarnock. He just makes sure that they're properly organised, and he has made decent players better players. Rangers have lost seven times at home, and the manager is clearly not getting the best out of the players that he has. Therefore, that's why I think, good, decent man that he is, he's not up to the job. And I think another manager would get more out of the players who are there. For Rangers to lose seven times at Ibrox
in the
same season.
Then again, Hugh, it's not all over. And my goodness, before anyone jumps on, I appreciate this is a massive if, but because of where we are in the season, there is still time for him.
Yeah, they're second top of the league.
To do something, no, to finish second and win a trophy. I know that that's going to be hard.
But the problem is, though, Gordon, the bigger picture, as Hugh says, is the directors that have got decisions to make. You can't say, well, if Rangers do beat Celtic and get in the cup final, well, unless he wins that, then he's not getting the job. You cannot wait that length of time and then say, right, we're bringing somebody else in. You have to act now. If you don't want that manager, you have to be making inquiries for someone who to come in right away. You can't just say at the end of the season, no, you're not getting it right. Who we're going to get? And then 5 or 6 weeks later, you don't have that amount of time to bring somebody in.
I get what you mean, but what I'm trying to say is, surely you can't fully know right now if you do want him or not. Listen, and I know it's a hypothetical, but what I'm saying to you is, Derek, imagine he wins the Scottish Cup. So how could you say right now?
Well, what I'm saying, but they can't just all of a sudden, the day that they lose the cup final, or if they lose the cup final, say, right, no, we don't want you as a manager.
Well, it's a semi-final,
we'll
by the way.
But they've still got to go to the final and win it.
Mm-hmm.
Beating Celtic's not going to be enough. They've got to go on and win it.
I want to be clear, I'm not saying Rangers are going to go on and win the cup. I'm just trying to
They have to have someone in mind, just in case that they don't take him.
Jim, quite keen to give you the last word on this.
I would say we've got to bust the bank and get Stevie Clark. I don't see anybody out there. I said Neil Warnock to you on Friday, but he was right in what he says. They're going to the Premiership maybe, but I think Rangers should bust the bank and try and get Stevie Clark. Kilmarnock fans will definitely not be happy about losing him, but it would be a major coup if we get him in. And I think what you were saying there about getting that extra 10% out of the players, I think Stevie Clark's the man that would get that out of the players rather than what Murray's getting just now.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Well, on that note, we are going to hear from Stevie Clark a bit later on in the programme, but right now it's time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, as many sporting general knowledge questions right as you can against one of the pundits for the chance to try and win a signed ball. If you want to play, right now is the time to phone 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnston are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show, and we're going to hear from Kilmarnock boss Stevie Clark. I know the way these things work in Glasgow in the West. When Rangers lose, there's a lot of focus as to where it went wrong. But Kilmarnock fans, you must be absolutely delighted at the moment. Why not you give us a call as well? 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Stevie Clark after this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It's just approaching 7:05, and as always at this time of night we play Beat the Pundit. Let's meet tonight's contestant. Alan Stirling is a Celtic fan from Springburn and he's up tonight. Alan, how are you feeling?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Feeling good? Yep, not too bad at all. I'm looking at these questions, just trying to judge how you're going to find them. Would you have a preference if you had the coin in your hand and you could fix it? Who would you like to take on?
Well, I've beat you before.
Oh, really?
You going for the double now?
but a bit of a difference with playing Derek, possibly.
Well, we'll toss the coin and see how you get on. Heads, it's Hugh for round two, and tails, it's Derek. So let's see what we get. Oh, dropped the coin, but it was a head, so you're going
to
get...
Oh, no, do you need to do it again? No, you dropped the
coin. That's fine, it was still heads. Chance for redemption, Hugh Keevans.
Or if Alan beats me again, he gets to keep me.
He does.
On his mantelpiece.
Right, anyway, let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his lug so that he doesn't listen to you, Alan. 30 seconds, head-to-head, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
All right, thanks.
Who was sent off in yesterday's 0-0 draw between Mark McGee has left which English League 2 club?
Coventry.
In what decade was Morton renamed Greenock Morton to celebrate its links with the town?
2000s.
How many Premiership games in a row are Kilmarnock undefeated?
7.
Which Scottish team is nicknamed the Loons?
Alloa.
Who did St Mirren beat 3-1 at the weekend to go 12 points clear in the Championship?
Dumbarton.
In what year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup?
2008.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back.
That was quick.
Well, it's 30 seconds, same as it is every other night. Is that okay?
Yep.
Same set of questions to you. Let's get them off and running, shall we? Who was sent off in yesterday's 0-0 draw between Millwall and Celtic? Mark McGee has left which English League 2 side? In what decade was Morton renamed Greenock Morton to celebrate its links with the town?
60s.
How many Premiership games in a row are Kilmarnock undefeated?
19.
Which Scottish team is nicknamed the Loons?
Forfa.
Who did St Mirren beat 3-1 at the weekend to go 12 points clear at the top?
Pass.
In which year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup?
2001.
Okay. Alan, how are you feeling now that you've heard Hugh's effort? You're not happy? Not happy with your performance?
I knew it was some St Mirren beating there.
No, it wasn't. No, it still wasn't.
No,
you
wasn't.
Well, I'll tell you
further
what.
South.
Let's go through them and
Queen
we'll find
south,
out. Let's go through them and we'll find out, shall we? First one, the easiest question of all time tonight, I think. Who was sent off in yesterday's 0-0 draw? In case you hadn't heard, it was Cedric Kiepre. So that's 1-1 after question one. Mark McGee's left which English League 2 club? Barnet is correct. So it's 2-1 to Hugh Keevans after two questions. It kind of went downhill after that, if I'm being completely honest. In what decade was Morton renamed Greenock Morton? It was the 90s. So still 2-1 to Hugh. How many Premiership games in a row are Kilmarnock undefeated? Hugh, Stevie Clark's good, but he's not that good. It's 8. You were at least close, Alan, but not close enough. So still 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. On to question 5. Which Scottish team is nicknamed the Loons? It is 4 for Alan. So he's pulling ahead, 3-1. Who did St Mirren beat 3-1 at the weekend? It was Queen of the South. None of you got that right. And in which year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup? It was 2006. So that was 3 to Hugh Keevans and Alan Stirling. I'm afraid only 1 to you. Hard lines. Fair enough, Alan. Good sport anyway. Thank you for taking part. That was Alan in Springburn. And if you want to play Beat the Pundit, well, guess what? We're back at the exact same time tomorrow night. I have been saying that we're going to hear from Stevie Clark, so I think it feels like a good time to do that, Hugh Keevans, because as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, it's par for the course. Celtic and Rangers are the two biggest teams, especially in this part of the world. And if things don't go their way, you always look as to where they went wrong. But of course, there's always another side, and especially in the case of Kilmarnock at the moment, they just continue to blow everyone away.
And look at the composition of the squad, or the team in fact. Look at who's done the damage to Rangers in particular this season. Chris Burke, former Rangers player, at an advanced stage of his career. Chris Boyd, certainly at an advanced stage of his career. Kirk Broadfoot, an advanced stage of his career. Stephen O'Donnell, you know, good player at Partick Thistle, went down to Luton. As I say, with the greatest respect, they're honest to goodness pros, but the manager took them on when they were bottom of the league, and now they're guaranteed top six and going for a place in Europe, and they've got plenty of games to spare. That's a managerial masterclass.
Well, the man who's dishing out the masterclass, Stevie Clark, says that he's running out of superlatives for his side. A second win over Rangers in a row now after the 1-0 win at Ibrox. In the five games against the Old Firm this season, Clark has won 3 and drawn 2, but he says it's the players that deserve all of the credit.
When you consider the schedule that we've had recently, it was our 7th game in 21 days, is a big ask of the players. I think you saw first 20 minutes, a little bit of fatigue, it took us a little bit of time to grow into the game. And last 15 minutes we were digging in, but I haven't got words that can praise this group of players enough. They find a way to get results. The run of matches, the run of wins that we're on just now, the way we compete with all the top teams, it's got to be great for the Kilmarnock supporters to come and watch it, because I know as a coach standing on the sidelines, I'm really proud of the players and they should be proud of their efforts as well. I'm to a place like Ibrox, you have to respect all your opponents, so we come here, we knew it would be a difficult game. Like I say, it took us, I was a little bit disappointed the way we started. I thought we started a little bit hesitant, a little bit nervy, but we grew into the game. Probably had just as many, if not more, good chances than Rangers. Obviously, we rode our luck a little bit with the one that came off the crossbar. I actually turned to Alex Dyer when that happened. I said, you know what, it might be our day today. So it's always good when you get those little breaks at the right time, and the players work hard for that break. Normally, he's in the right position at the right time. You know, if you get the ball in the box, when it falls, the goalkeeper makes a half-decent save, doesn't get it away, and you know that Chris will be there or thereabouts, and he was there again.
There are so many stats, Hugh Keevans, and I certainly don't want to just rhyme them all off, but the two that are most relevant at the moment, five games against Rangers and Celtic this season, 3 wins and 2 draws, incredible. And also the one that I read you out on Saturday, had the league started when Stevie Clark took over,
yeah,
they would be second, clear second, and only 3 points behind Celtic. So that just sums up how good the form's been in that time.
I don't know whether it was Billy Bowie, the man who owns Kilmarnock, I don't know whether it was he who had the idea to approach Stevie Clark, but it was an act of genius. And the trouble is, the brutal fact of the matter is, the more stats you rhyme off, Gordon, mm-hmm, the better he gets, the less likely he is to be Kilmarnock manager next season.
I think the organisation, I think, was a big difference between the two teams. You know, I think Kilmarnock were different class. When Rangers had the ball, they got everybody back, there was no space. But certainly when they broke with pace, and there was men getting forward in the box. You look at the goal. You know, it's a great turn. It's gone through one of the Rangers players' legs. The keeper's had a save, spilt it. Where's the two centre-halves? Nobody anywhere near Chris Boyd. And that's the difference when you're a predator in there. That's a real predator. Somebody like that who's in his mid-30s or whatever he is, he's in the right place at the right time, and all he's got to do is tap the ball in the empty net. Rangers didn't get these opportunities at the other side. The two great chances they had were from set pieces and two headers from the centre-half who should have scored.
Ian is on the line, the Rangers fan in the city centre. Not been a great deal of support for Graham Murty on tonight's phones, but Ian, you're on to stick up for him, yeah?
Yeah, I certainly am. I think Murty's been getting a bit of a hard time just now. It's definitely it's not justified. I mean, the man has done, he's worked wonders since he took the job over for a second time. And the last two results, okay, we've been beat. I was at the Celtic game. I thought we played really, really well. I think he's brought some really good players in. I think he's got an eye for a good player. I think he knows what direction he wants to take the club. And, okay, he's very raw, obviously. But he's been up against Stevie Clark, who's a Wiley Fox, and Brendan Rodgers, two of the hardest managers to beat in the league. And yet he's coming under all this scrutiny, and is he going to keep his job? But I do agree with Hugh to a certain extent. Yeah, he will need to win the Scottish Cup or beat Celtic or whatever, but I mean, I think everybody's gone over the top. I mean, we forget where we've come from in the last 5 or 6 years, and Murty's done a fantastic job.
But I think you've gone slightly over the top yourself, Ian, by saying he has worked wonders. He clearly has not worked wonders, because his success rate is exactly the same as that of Pedro Caixinha over the same number of games.
You mean in terms of points per game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's not working wonders. And when you say, you know, he's come up against Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon and Brendan Rodgers, he has to live with these guys. Otherwise, things don't get any better. He has to be the equal of Brendan Rodgers, you know, or Celtic will win 10 in a row.
But Hugh, what I'm saying is, when you went into your journalism, were you the best in the business when you first went into it? No. And I'm not saying you're not the best now, I don't know. But
I think there's a few people out there answering that for you.
I think the difference, Ian, he's inexperienced against all them, isn't he? He's inexperienced.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. You can't expect a man to come from the under-20s and come up and against people like Brendan Rodgers, who've been in the Premiership.
Well, in that case, he can't stay then.
Well, how can he know?
Because
how far? Who's been the best manager that Rangers have had over the last four years, five years?
If he can't be the equal of Brendan Rodgers, then he can't stay. Because the manager who can't, Rangers manager who can't beat Celtic, or the Celtic manager who can't beat Rangers, doesn't stay.
Well, what about his two? Would you call him? It took Brendan Rodgers 3 times in his third attempt to beat Graham Murty. So what does that say about him?
Yeah, but I give you back another stat. 9 times Rangers have played Brendan Rodgers Celtic. They're still to win a game.
Yeah, but Murty's not been in charge all that time, and he's got 2 of the best results and he's been beat by an odd goal.
Well, listen, as I say, I have absolutely nothing against the man. He comes across as a personable, courteous, intelligent man. But the remit is, he's got to get above Celtic and he's got to win the league.
There's a question for you, Ian. There's a question for you. If Celtic beat Rangers, you know, in the semi-final, and Rangers don't finish second, do you still keep the manager?
It's a big...
I know it's a big if. I'm just asking you the question.
It depends. It really depends. I mean, if Rangers go out and they get hit and Celtic run all over the top of us, and things have went from where we are just now to the semi-final, things aren't getting any better. No, you don't keep him. Mm-hmm. But I think he's showed enough that he knows where he's going. You can't keep changing the manager every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's, at this moment in time for me, he's still favourite to get the job.
In a sense, you're not changing the manager. He's interim manager from now until the end of the season. That was all he was promised. But my point to Ian, whoever else who looks at this situation, is if Graham Murty cannot prove himself to be the equal of Brendan Rodgers, then Rangers won't employ him as the manager.
And it's worth bearing in mind, Hugh, that it can be done. I mean, Neil Lennon was the Celtic youth coach, was he not, before he became?
Yeah.
So it's not, I'm not sure you can always adopt this mindset, well, if you're inexperienced, then it can't work. That's got to be false.
All I'm saying though is people.
No, I'm not saying
you
personally.
People mention Brendan Rodgers' wealth of experience as opposed to Graham Murty's lack of experience. But that doesn't come into it, because if he's to be given a job on a permanent basis, he has to be the equal of Brendan Rodgers. He has to be a legitimate contender for the title.
Martin is in Castlemilk. Hi, Martin.
Hiya.
What's your point tonight, Martin?
I think the last pod that stole my thunder a bit, it was about Steve Clarke getting the Rangers job. I'm actually a Celtic fan, but
you fancy Steve Clarke? So you're not trying to like undermine Rangers or anything. You're just saying it would be a good appointment.
I think he would be a good manager for Rangers.
So well, Martin's a Celtic fan, Hugh, but he's just keeping his eyes open at what's going on and thinks that Stevie Clark will be a good fit at Ibrox. By the way, Craig Shuttleton has on Twitter, he's given everyone a row. He says they're getting fed up listening to Rangers fans wanting our manager, Sir Stevie Clark. If he goes, it will be somewhere bigger than Ibrox.
Well, again,
maybe get a job down south as well.
Well, the certainty is that the work that Steve Clark is doing at Kilmarnock is being noticed. Whether it's being noticed down south, I would not pretend to know, but you could understand why Rangers supporters would say, well, look at him, he could certainly do a job.
Also right under our noses as well.
Has Stevie Clark signed a 1 year deal? Was it only a 1 year deal he signed? We don't know. I mean, if I can say something,
can't remember off the top of my head.
If he's only got the job to the end of the season, there will certainly be clubs down south that will be sniffing at him, that is for sure, as well as up here.
It would be only common sense and logic that people would say they have their reservations about Graham Murty and his ability to stop Celtic from winning the league season upon season. And it would only be logic to look at Steve Clarke and say, what a job he's doing. He could go toe-to-toe with Brendan Rodgers.
He's on a three-year deal. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, if Rangers want manager, you just have to stump up and pay the money.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if they want him, you know, if money is a problem, then that is a problem for Rangers, because who are you going to get in? But he would be an obvious and logical choice,
especially with the budget he's worked on as well. It can't be as much as he would get at Rangers. So.
Yeah, as I say, his strength for me is that he has taken a squad that, with the greatest respect, is not full of household names, yeah, and he has made them into something. So we have to find out one thing. It's the Michael O'Neill scenario all over again. You have to find out privately, would you be interested in the job? Because after the Derek McInnes business, Rangers board, if, and I underline if, they do not wish to persevere with Graham Murty, they cannot have a Derek McInnes scenario all over again. They have to know that the man they approach will take the job.
Okay, thanks to Martin in Castlemilk. Got a good full-time teaser for you tonight. Oh. It's one of them that really gets you thinking. Gets the wheels turning.
What's new?
Yeah, no, it does. It gets the wheels turning, this one. So the full-time teaser, that's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnston and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Today was the first training session for Alex McLeish back in charge of Scotland. We're going to hear from one of his coaching staff, James McFadden. Some interesting comments on what lies ahead for the Scotland side. But as always at this time, let's get the full-time teaser up and running. Sent in by Jerry and Erskine. Mm-hmm. We're looking for the 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps. So it's a simple question, but are the answers simple?
Alec McLeish.
The 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps. Alex McLeish is number one. He's got 77. Yeah. He's top of the list. Any more?
Yes, a former captain.
Which former captain?
Liverpool.
McAllister.
McAllister.
Yes. Yeah. He's on 57 caps. So that's McLeish and McAllister.
McCoist.
Yes, he's got 61. I'll take one more because this is
McGrane.
This is the best start you two have
McGrane,
ever had.
Danny McGrane.
Danny McGrane, right in there on 62 caps as well. So you've already got four of the 10. Even you two cannot mess this up from here. I'm telling you.
Famous last words.
40% of them are in the bank. We are going to hear from James McFadden, but let's squeeze in Thomas and Dunmarnock before that. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, lads?
All good. What's your point tonight?
I was listening to the boys coming on there earlier on saying about Murray. It's actually, it is quite simple. If Murray's going to either win the Scottish Cup and finish second, and they will get the job, right? But I'd just like to be, I'd say to Derek here, I was at the game on Saturday, and a wee bit too hasty here with Stevie Clark, get Stevie Clark, get. Now, I know Stevie, I think his man he's doing in England as well, isn't he, West Brom?
Yes.
Yeah. Aye, right, so he's still a bit of a novice. I know he's worked under Mourinho, but I was at the game on Saturday, Derek, and it's okay being a manager to set up a team to be dogged and well organised, and you can get results, and he can do that, that's obvious. But if he was to go to Rangers, I was watching that game on Saturday, come on, they weren't that good, and Rangers were woeful as well. But he wouldn't be able to play that way with Rangers because he's going to be more expansive. So, and obviously players, attacking-minded.
I see where you're coming from, Thomas. But you know what he's good at, and I keep saying it, and that's what you have to be as a manager. You have to get the best out of players week in, week out. And that's what Stevie Clark's there. I understand what you're saying with Rangers. It's a different ball game altogether. You're right. But you can only look at what the man's done for Kilmarnock. Bottom of the league, he comes in, and now they're in the top six, and they're going to be playing in the top six after the break. So he's obviously got something.
Oh, definitely. He has, Derek, and there's nothing away from that. But what we can do again is we've shot ourselves in the foot with some of the managers. We take gambles. We can't take. You've got to get somebody.
Yeah, I agree with that. You can't keep changing every two seasons.
Thomas, I suppose where the problem might come with your theory there, Thomas, is what kind of level do you see Rangers getting a manager from then? Do you know, because...
Well, to me, I've always said you need to get somebody that's won things, right? And I would never have went for Denny McInnes. I've seen enough of Denny McInnes, his Aberdeen team. He's up against Ronnie Dyla and Celtic were average. And he never done much. Denny McInnes lives off of finishing second. That's not good enough. To me... If it wasn't Stevie Clark or something like that, I mean, there's Van Bronckhorst. He's already won, is it, two titles with Feyenoord. Sometimes you've got to look at somebody that's won things and done something in a decent league, a league that's similar to Scotland. So I'm just, we've got to get it right anyway. But
yeah, you're right.
I think Thomas is right, Hugh. The problem is those guys tend to be quite difficult to lure.
Yeah, and can Rangers afford them? Because players have to be turned into permanent deals from loan deals. Murphy would have to be paid for. If you wanted Goss, he'd have to be paid for. So money will be required to be devoted to the playing personnel in the summertime. If it was going to cost a lot to get Giovanni Van Bronckhorst from the Eredivisie over here, then Rangers might think, can't afford it.
Thank you to Thomas and Dunmarnock. Let's hear from James McFadden, shall we? Because Scotland squad met up for the first time last night, first training session today, and one of the coaches, James McFadden's, urging the new faces to grab this opportunity with both hands. The former attacker says the young players must have the belief that they can succeed, and he hopes that the new batch of players can signal a new era for the country.
We need to start talking it up and bringing that belief that young players can come in and impress, you know, and express themselves. I was one myself, and I didn't, you know, listen when people say that you couldn't do stuff, and I want them to come in with that attitude of, you know, I'm going to go and be the man. I want to be the man. I want to go and achieve something for Scotland. There's guys coming in here 20, 21, 22, And when you're in the environment and you're flying, you don't really think too far ahead, and you think, oh, you know, if we don't make this one, we'll make the next one. But you might only get one chance at it. You know, the next one doesn't come. Before you know it, you're 35, nearly 35, sitting here speaking as a coach, thinking, you know, we really should have qualified, but we never. And that wasn't because we weren't good enough. I do feel we had players that were good enough and good enough teams, but sometimes it just doesn't happen, and there isn't always a next one. So I think for the young boys, you need to just, you know, don't be looking too far ahead and saying, ugh, it's all right, play it safe, we'll get the next one. This is a chance, you know, this is a chance for the young guys in the squad to cement their place in the squad. But it's also, you know, it's becoming easier on paper to qualify for the major tournament. So we have to make sure that we're one of those teams that goes to the Euros.
Bit of news coming out of the squad today, well, last night and today, Hugh, was that Russell Martin and Kieran Tierney pulled out. The replacement, if you like, or the call-up was Jack Hendry.
Yeah.
And then later on today, Dylan McGeoch, who had joined up with the squad, he was in and about, but he's now pulled out as well, and there won't be someone to replace him.
Well, it's a shame for Dylan McGeoch, because he's just had a terrific season with Hibs and was at the very peak of his form. But the whole nature of this exercise is about experimentation. So no matter who drops out, no matter who's brought in, it's all part of the same process for Alec McLeish. You just get a team out against Costa Rica on Friday night, and you take it from there, and you experiment on the night, and you experiment in the next game, and so on and so forth. So it's a shame for Dylan McGeoch. Kieran Tierney is always a miss, so it's a shame for him as well. But Jack Hendry comes in, and Jack Hendry gets the chance to show what he can do. So
I think we're expecting, you know, of all the newcomers, you're obviously expecting all the newcomers to play. You know, whether they come on at half time or whatever, because that's the ones they've got to look at. I think, as James said there when you interviewed him, you know, they're playing so well for their clubs. We've got to give them a chance to see what they can do. We feel this is a great time to get into the Scotland side, because we're going places. We're happy with some of the youngsters that are coming in, but we've got to see them play, see what they can do.
So McFadden also says one of his biggest regrets was not qualifying for a major tournament. He hopes this squad are able to make it to Euro 2020, because the chance may not come around again.
Obviously, I wish I could have done it, but I'm not really one to look back and regret things. I had a great career, very thankful for everything I got, but there is times where you look at certain games where you think, you know, the Georgia game for me still rankles that if we win that game, we qualify. And at the time, we didn't know that, but this is what I'm talking about. You know, go and approach every game the same. If you win that game, you qualify, regardless of what happens at Hampden against Italy. So basically, you've got to take your chance when you get it. You don't know when the next chance is going to come. I think we've got a lot of good young players, allied with some really good experienced players, and every one of them are performing at a good level, maybe top of the league, going for titles or going for promotion and down south. And I think we need to, you know, they're used to winning, and it does breed confidence. Other people see it. We saw that last year with the Celtic players. They kind of lifted everybody around about them. But we've got players now that throughout the team, they're all trying to win promotion, trophies, you know, the leagues. And it's great, and it'll bring that competitive edge to the training and to the games.
There's a lot to look at, because as we mentioned, there are a lot of new faces, and you're going to see who's been given debuts and so on. But then you've also got guys like Andrew Robertson, who every single week, who just appears to get better. He's getting rave reviews from everyone south of the border as well.
They're finally waking up in Liverpool and realise they've got a real player in their hands.
Scott McTominay training today of Manchester United, as well as the good young players that we've got on our doorstep as well.
But to go back to James's point there, you know, we've had great players in the past who have never been to a major tournament. Over the last 20 years, we've had some very good players who have never been to a major tournament. So for Andrew Robertson and McTominay and Kieran Tierney, there's the challenge in front of you.
And I'll tell you what, for some of the oldish ones, this could be their last chance as well. So you've got the experience with the youngsters, and that's why you always need that. You need two or three experienced players in and amongst these
kids. Can we offer you a couple of names?
Well, I'll just remind you of the question for the teaser. We're looking for the 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps. You've already given me McLeish, McGrain, McCoist and McAllister. I said that even you two couldn't mess this up from here, because you've got 20 odd minutes to get the remaining six.
Billy McNeil?
No.
Stuart McCall?
Yes.
A name from the Dim and Distant? Dave Mackay?
Nope.
With Jim McAleog?
Nope. No others spring to mind at the moment?
No. We're halfway there.
Well, you are indeed. Let's speak to Mark in Hamilton. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Gordon, Hugh, Derek, how are you doing?
Oh, good. Right. What's your point tonight, Mark?
Good. A couple of points about the game yesterday, Gordon, about 2 points. Scots and Clare, I think it's time for the lad to go on his summer break right now. After yesterday, it was excellent to get through. If he looks his head up and taps the ball inside to Tom Rodgick, he taps it into the net. And the next point is...
Let's do that one first, Mark, and I'll let you back in. Let's dissect that move, Hugh, because... I think Pat's
come from the penalty. Is that the one that came from the penalty shout? Yeah.
Because on one hand, you've got people praising Richard Tate and saying it was a great tackle, but there's also people like Mark who just think that Scott Sinclair should have done so much better.
I can understand why Scott Sinclair took the shot on, because he's come in for a lot of criticism. People have compared the Scott Sinclair of last season to the one that's playing this season. And I think he thought, in front of the Celtic support, if I can put this in the dying seconds of the game, here I am, I'm back. And
passing would be in his mind at all, Hugh. No, passing would not be in his mind.
And Mark is right. If he had looked up and had spotted whoever it was,
Rogic.
Rogic, right.
Was Roberts also there as well? I think he was close by. Yep.
But, you know, as I say, Mark, I think he's had such a hard time of it recently, on and off the park. I think he saw a great finish to the game coming up for him on a personal level, and I think that's why he took it on.
But he couldn't. It was a defender that came back who was miles behind the fella that took. He'd actually bypassed the gun, and he made that. I thought at the time it was a keeper that made the save, but showed you back again the tail. It was actually the defender that came back.
But you know, prior to that, he had shown some good touches. He had shown glimpses of last season Scott Sinclair, and he looked to be enjoying his time on the park as a sub. And as I say, for me, they're human beings. He's been getting a bit of stick, and he's thinking,
he saw the headlines.
I'm about to score the dramatic last gasp winner. I'm going to be tomorrow morning's back page photograph. And it didn't happen for him.
What was your second point, Mark?
Second point, young fella scored a great goal, Edward, last week at Ibrox. I don't see, but well, yesterday played the lad on the left again, and he had about half a dozen touches in the first half, same in the second half. I don't see where scoring that up, as I say, excellent goal at Ibrox, but where that gets you back into the team again to play out there after yesterday's performance was, to me, that just doesn't work.
Well, again, Brendan Rodgers is thinking Dembele and Edward are on a high, because they both scored against Rangers. They have combined to score the winning goal, the Dembele pass to Edward, and he makes it 3-2. And, you know, if he hadn't done that, if the manager hadn't done that, people would have said, well, why did you break it up? You know, they finished on a high at Ibrox. So I can understand the logic behind what happened. But throughout the side, Mark, you know, there were good bits and bad bits. They really ought to have won.
But you know what, Hugh? There's no logic after that game last week, the Old Firm, because you were expecting Rangers to come out and say, well, that's the league finish now. Let's go for second. Fired up. Go and get Kilmarnock. Get 3 points. You're saying to Celtic, well, they're on a high. 10 men. They've beaten Rangers. Look great. They're going to win the league again. They're relaxed. They can go out there and play their stuff. And it just didn't happen again. The two teams.
Thank you to Mark and Hamilton. Any more on the teaser? Looking for 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps. You've got McLeish, McGrain, McCoist, McAllister and McCall.
Not McCulloch, is it?
No, he's just below that list.
Right.
We'll have to have a wee think about this.
Well, it's only fair to give you some time. We'll get the answers to the full-time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
We are into the final part of tonight's show. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here, and I think I'm going to have to take some of the blame for this, because on the teaser, 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps, they raced into a lead. They got 4 straight away, and I said, no chance you two can mess this up from here. And in Hugh Keevan's fashion, my prediction has gone, because you two are struggling.
Well,
Alan McGregor.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, that is one. Yes, Alan McGregor.
That's 6.
So you've got 4 to get.
Chalky McClure.
Nope, he's close though. He's close. All I'm going to say to you is, and this has been pointed out on Twitter by a couple of people, but in particular Kevin McHugh, there is one that has been staring you in the face unbelievably for the last, well, since we asked the question.
It's easy when you know.
No, but genuinely, trust me, because when I read it out, you're going to go, oh, I don't believe that. So you're looking for, by the way, one of these guys has got 76 caps as well, so clearly well involved. You're looking for, I'll give you this one in particular. You're looking for Celtic. That's all you need to know about this guy. Celtic. And he's got 76 Scotland caps. Notice I didn't mention any other clubs there. I thought you were going to get this, Hugh Keevans. What are you doing to me?
Oh, Paul McStay.
Paul McStay. Honestly, haven't they hold your hand here? Right, 1, 2, 3 to get. 1 on 48 caps. That's the one that's been staring you in the face. 1 on 40 and 1 on 33. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Let's speak to John, who's a Rangers fan in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon. Derek, it's you.
Hi, John.
Just a couple of points. Obviously, we were talking about the manager role at Ibrox. If Graham Murray doesn't get the job, but I think a big thing it could be obviously the season ticket renewals are out shortly. And over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean the Rangers fans, including myself, have been unbelievable. But I think this year it could be. I've read Keith Jackson today in the Record, and he can basically slaughter Dave King. I mean, I'm actually a Dave King supporter. I just think this. I think the Rangers fans maybe would like to know. I know Derek said that maybe just now we would, maybe the manager's role or after the Celtic game, the semi-final. But I think with the season tickets coming out, I think that could be a big one this year. Yeah. Who we're going to have as a manager? Maybe because they're out short. I think they'll be out in the next 3 or 4 weeks. The renewals.
But what do you do? You know, do you undermine Graham Murty as he goes for second place and the cup by openly pursuing another manager? Or do you actually take Graham Murty aside and say, look, it won't be you, and we are going to do this? So that's where Dave King would have to be hands on. The other problem that Rangers have,
it is a reality though, Hugh, because this is where, you know, business and football combine.
Yeah. You have to do your homework. You can't just sack a manager or not give him the job, you know, if he doesn't win the cup, and then we'll better go and look for somebody. You have to have somebody there. You have to ask questions of a manager, whether you speak to the manager's agent that you want or whatever, to say, look, would he come? So you know fine well, if it doesn't happen with Graham, then you go for
somebody.
You're
always influenced by the guys that you're closest to. And a friend of mine out where I stay, Rangers season ticket holder, and he sent me a message on Saturday night and said, Murty, no. You know, and this is a man who's a level-headed gentleman of a certain vintage, long-standing season ticket holder, and he does not see enough in Graham Murty to believe in him.
Do you see the difficulty in this, John? That, listen, I know Rangers have got Celtic to get past first, so that could be taken out. It could be completely wiped out of the equation. But if for whatever reason Rangers manage to get past Celtic, the Scottish Cup final doesn't come till the end of May, so you can see where the difficulty lies there in the timing.
Gordon, I know that, but I agree with Derek, and probably the majority of Rangers fans, but we've got to get this right. This can't be another Pedro Caixinha carry on. And Graham Murty's done unbelievable since he came in. He really has. But I think there's a couple of calls. I think he's been kind of outfoxed the last couple of games, maybe with Brendan Rodgers and obviously with Stevie Clark. And obviously, I want to say, I'm not really a Stevie Clark fan. I don't really want him as a manager, to be honest with you. I mean, I've heard a rumour today that he might even be going to Parkhead, because there's rumours going about tonight in Glasgow that Brendan Rodgers is off at the end of the season. And Celtic might be going for Stevie Clark.
Do you know what I love about the rumours, John? Because what I can hear in the background is clearly your taxi. That the taxi drivers are right at the heart of the rumours, John.
See, the only thing about Gordon, I've been in this game a long time, and the only thing I don't like about it is I'm fed up people talking behind my back.
I was wondering where that was going.
You're all weak.
Gordon, just get back to the serious point. I know Rangers are maybe caught in a cap, but I read Hughes Coleman, they didn't really mention much, but I read Keith Jackson in the Record, and there's a couple of things that I did agree with, even though I'm a Dave King fan. There were a couple of things that I agreed with. He said that there might be a few people waiting in the wings, you know what I mean? And he took
David Murray right at the, he said just took him out the closure. But the thing about it is, he thinks there might be people waiting in the wings, but he doesn't think that Dave King would sell Rangers. I think there's a, as Mark Beattie said in the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, there's a lot of things happening, going to happen at Ibrox in the summer. And I asked Mark what it was, and he said, John, it's no financial. And that was what his mole told him, that there's a lot of things going to happen in the summer. So I, who knows what's going to happen in the summer, but we've got to get this manager right.
Yeah.
We've got to get it spot on. It can't be, she always says it, Celtic, we know Celtic are going for 10 in a row, they're 99.9% away, so it's 7 in a row, so they've got 3 to go. And Rangers, as a Rangers fan, I don't want to see that. As a Celtic fan, then they want to see, when we get 90, then they want to see 10, so...
And look, look what happened then. You know, you talk about the timing of this situation. When Rangers were on 9 going for 10, Celtic had already gone on their pre-season conditioning work and pre-season games, and they still didn't have a manager. Wim Jansen actually turned up after all that had begun, and he met Murdo McLeod then. And so it can be done. You can bring in a man who can put his expertise to work. And Wim Jansen won arguably the most important title in Celtic's history.
But the difference is you've got such a short summer. You know, players are lucky to get 2 weeks these days in your back doing it. You know, so you can't just, when the last game finishes, right, let's go for a manager. You have to have somebody in mind. You have to have spoken to his agent or somebody just in case.
But thanks again, to John without, and Parkhead without, Hugh. I'm just going to quickly move this on, if you don't mind, just because that clock is staring at me more than usual. Mm. Looking for the 10 mix or max with the most Scotland caps. You're almost there. You've got McLeish, McStay, McGrain, McCoist, McAllister, McCall and McGregor. So you've got 3 to get. I'm obviously going to have to give you clues. I accepted that a long time ago.
It's the recent one that's...
There's one... No, you've got the most recent one. That was Alan McGregor. That's
right,
what
that
I meant.
The recent one.
Aberdeen, you're looking for this guy. This is definitely the hardest one, I would say. Loads of appearances for Aberdeen. Have you not got the one that's staring you in the face? Obviously not. 48 caps. He has been mentioned on tonight's programme. More than mentioned on tonight's programme. Oh, come on, don't do this to me.
No, it's not McFadden,
is it? It is McFadden.
I said that to you earlier. Didn't you have written it down?
You didn't say it to me.
I certainly did. I can James McFadden.
Well, why are people tweeting in and saying, why have they not mentioned McFadden?
Well, I did.
So
I
there we go.
That.
Well, no one heard you then. 48 caps, James McFadden. We played about 3 minutes worth of his interview. Two more. The one you're looking for at the bottom of this list, he's on 33 caps. Best known here for playing for Celtic, Hugh. But in recent-ish years, he's gone on to manage...
Mark McGee.
Nope. Younger than that. He's gone on to manage in the top flight here in Scotland. A good bit younger than Mark McGee. He managed Dundee United.
Jimmy McInerney?
No. More recently.
Manchester United.
Yes.
Oh, Jackie McNamara.
Yes, Jackie McNamara. And the one you're waiting on, which I would say is the hardest. I'm not sure why I think it's the hardest. It just... So he was a defender. He played for Dundee to start off with, but then Aberdeen. I mean, I think almost 500 or so appearances for Aberdeen in the sort of 80s right through to 90s. So many appearances. I really don't know what else to tell you about this guy, if I'm being completely honest with you. We're going to go for initials.
What's his first initial?
S.
Stuart McKimmy.
Stuart McKimmy. There you go. Well, you got it in the end. Thank you to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. And thank you to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for tweeting. And we'll do it all over again tomorrow in the company of Roger Hanna and Gordon DL.